One of the difficulties is, of course, that you look in the mirror. And when I look in the mirror a lot of times, I wonder who that old bloke looking back at me is. Who is that guy? You know, I think, that can't be me. I look in the mirror and the image coming back falls a little short of my expectations. Anybody here like that? Yeah, I thought there would be. See, when you look in a mirror, the question is, who are you seeing looking back at you? Is that the real person of you? Is it the real representation of you? Or is it somehow a distortion or been tampered with in some way? What I want to do in this series is I want to take you through a discussion of perception. And when you look in the mirror, I'm going to ask the question, who is it that's looking back at you? Who are you seeing there? Do you like what you see when you look in the mirror? Or don't you like what you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see yourself in your true life? And who or what are you reflecting? That's what mirrors do. They don't create images. They reflect images. So who or what are you reflecting? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12 says this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Now, we cannot truly hope to understand ourselves by looking in a mirror or anything short this side of glory. We will know fully when we get to heaven and we are fully known. But we can, by faith, begin to see things the way God sees them in our life. Do you believe that we can do that? I believe so. You know, sometimes you look at this image in the mirror and you go, that doesn't look like me at all. I don't remember me having rings under my eyes and all that sort of stuff and wrinkles in all those places. But I believe we can see ourselves as God really sees us, not our sort of selfish, self-centered, self-glorifying selves. And I mean, that's what mirrors do. When you look in a mirror, you're looking at yourself. And sometimes we don't like to look too hard at ourselves, and other times we love looking at ourselves. I mean, have a look at the phenomenon of the selfie. Who invented that? What a ridiculous thing that we will take photos of us, you know, millions of photos of ourselves. I know people, young people, who take photos, selfies of themselves, then Photoshop the selfie. So they look better than they really are. Why would you bother? All of this for Facebook. It's incredible, isn't it? So as I share this message, I want you to imagine, this is my only dad joke for the morning, I want to imagine that you are holding up a clock in the mirror. In other words, it's time for reflection. There you go. You didn't even get it. See, perception isn't what you see. It's what you perceive. And sometimes what you see isn't what you get. Have a look at this. This is pavement art. Have you ever seen this stuff? It's amazing. I mean, it throws your senses right out. Now, as a behavioral optometrist, I specialize in visual perception. It's what I do in my usual job. And I can tell you, having 20/20 vision is not as important as what you think you are seeing. Now, you need to see. But just because you physically see something, it doesn't mean you have the capacity to understand what you see and interpret it correctly. Many things in life actually distort or affect what we perceive, especially when it comes to ourselves. Now, you can get lenses and glasses that can shape your view of the world, as can mirrors. Mirrors can distort what is coming back at you. How many of you have a mirror on the side of your car that says, what you see here is, what do they say? Can be at a different distance or can appear smaller than, you know, as if you needed to figure that out. Some people have backed into places thinking it was not that, you know, it was further away than it was. If you judge just from your mirrors, you sometimes don't get it right. Now, the devil does not want you to see yourself properly. He does not want you to see yourself as God sees you. He also does not want you to reflect the image of Jesus Christ in your life. He's very much against that. So he sits around trying to figure out how he can mess with this vision that you have of yourself in the mirror and of him in the mirror. So the purpose of this series is to see a true reflection of ourselves, undistorted by anything that is not of God. We want to let his spirit guide us into all truth. As John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." So, when it comes to looking at yourself in a mirror, what sorts of things distort the image that you get in the mirror? And what can change the way you see yourself? So I'm going to run through some things here that will distort your image in the mirror. Number one, it's distorted by dirt and grime. If a mirror is dirty, you cannot clearly see the image in the surface. How many of you know that? How many of you don't clean your mirrors enough? and you can't see anything. It doesn't mean that the mirror doesn't work, but rather that the mirror is covered in a substance that is non-reflective. Now, going through your life, you can pick up dirt and grime and sin, all that sort of stuff. And sin is something that separates you from God. So the image is still that you just can't get through. You're separated from God. And it covers up a true reflection of yourself. And it certainly covers any chance you have of Jesus being reflected in your life. If you constantly live in sin, the dirt and the grime builds up until you just can't see any image in the mirror at all. If you're not close to God, your life can get like that as well. And you cannot become the person God wants you to be until you clean the mirror. If you're covered in dirt and grime and rubbish, the reflection will not be a true reflection. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says this, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face so that he does not hear." The Hebrew word for hidden is the word satar, which means to literally to cover or to conceal. So a layer of grime or sin can cover or conceal a mirror so that you cannot see a true reflection in it. And if it's thick enough, you can't see anything at all. How many of you have got up in the morning and you've got like dew and stuff all over your mirror and you can't see anything? You get in the car and you go, "I can't see anything in my side mirror because it's covered in dew." Have you experienced that? That's what it's like when we tolerate sin and rubbish in our lives. And when Jesus comes into our life, he sets us free from all sin, the Bible says. He wipes that clean. We were singing before, you know, "My sin and shame don't count anymore. They're gone. They're forgiven." If you come to Jesus Christ, you can be totally forgiven. And there's no sin, no grime. You're set free from the power of that in your life. 1 John 1 verse 5 says this, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So God is light, and if you are disobedient and willfully sinning and tolerating sin in your life, you know, sometimes it's just that we don't deal with it. We just tolerate it. We put up with it. Isn't that true? Sometimes we're not even actively sinning. We're just not sinning. Does that make sense? And so the grime comes on our mirror and it mists the mirror and light cannot reflect off it properly. The Greek word for cleansing that's used there is the word katharizo, which means to purify, wash, or scrub clean. And some of us, frankly, need our mirrors scrubbed clean this morning because we're tolerating stuff in our life we shouldn't. 1 John 1, 9, of course, says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness." Purify, cleanse is the same word in Greek. It means to scrub clean. Harboring sin in your life, even a hidden sin, tolerating it instead of confessing it, covers over the true image of who you should be. So I would encourage you and urge you, keep short accounts with God. Don't sit around saying, "Well, I'll confess that later on because, you know, I'd rather hang on to that for a while." No. Confess it, get it out of the way and move on in power in your life. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash your life clean. Now, the second thing that can distort the image in the mirror is your past. Now, many of us suffer from this. We find ourselves distorted by the past. If a mirror gets old, the inner surface of silver nitrate, that's how they make mirrors. Did you know that? It's like glass, but they paint silver nitrate underneath it, and that's what makes it a mirror. That's what's reflective. But the inner layer of silver nitrate can break down, and it gets scratchy, and it distorts the image that's in front of the mirror. This is not dirt on the outside. This is an inner layer, that's something inside that is breaking down that image. Now, so many people, including Christians, allow their past to distort what they reflect in the present. It might have been words spoken to you. It might have been situations you've been through. Your upbringing, your fear, your pain, whatever it is, you're letting it affect the way you're reflecting now. Isaiah 43 says this, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wilderness." God is doing something new in your life. And the Lord is saying, stop dwelling on past failures. Don't you get it? I'm doing a new thing. This is good news, isn't it? He's doing something new. We haven't got to sit around and put up with that stuff anymore. It's gone. And many times, you know, if we confess our sin, the Bible says he will forgive us our sins. Many times God forgives us, but we don't forgive us. We hang on to it. We hang on to these things in the past and they start to affect us. When the past quarrels with the present, there can be no future. We all need to learn from our past, but we need to stop living in the past or letting past failures control us and move on to God's new assignments and goals. Spiritual renewal involves letting go of the past so we can take hold of what is in the present and redirect our course for the future towards a new life. So if you've had a difficult upbringing, a troubled relationship with your mother or father, then today is the day to give that to the Lord and let him carry the burden, not you. Today's the day. We need to do that. If you've done something in your past that you're ashamed of, something you still feel guilty for, it's time to hand that over to Jesus and say, Lord, you carry this. I won't carry it anymore. And when you do that, let go. Oftentimes I hand things to the Lord. I say, Lord, deal with this. You know, let go. He says, come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. But not if you hang on to it. If you hang on to that stuff, he can't give you rest. You're busy hanging on to it. You've got to let go, as Elsa famously said. Let it go. So if you've had a divorce or a separation, if you've been abused or controlled, if you've had something you just hate yourself for doing in the past, today is the day to hand that over to the Lord and say, enough. Take it, Lord. I'm over it. You take it. I can't deal with it anymore. It's over to you. And when you do that, it will stop affecting the way, the image that you see in the mirror. The third thing that can distort the mirror is being shattered. Now, if you drop a hand mirror, if you drop any mirror, have you noticed they don't generally bounce very well? Have you noticed that? They go psh, and they shatter into all of these pieces, which allegedly gives you 7 years of bad luck, and it also gives you a distorted, fractured image. If you look at your image in a smashed mirror, you'll say, oh, that's not quite right. I've got 12 noses. You know, one is bad enough in my case, but 12, you know. And the same way, hurt and pain that's affected your life, that has damaged or even shattered your life, destroys this image in the mirror. Pain affects how you see yourself. So whether it's physical pain from sickness or disease or emotional pain from someone betraying you or letting you down, pain affects how you see and it affects how you value yourself. We're going to be looking at this in future weeks. But some people, because of what's gone on and the pain of the past, they look at themselves and say, I must be worthless. That is not true. And I'll show you that in a few weeks' time. God is going to show you that you are valuable and precious. Every life is precious to him and you are especially. It also affects people around you because, you know, how many of you know, hurt people hurt people. Is that right? And you may not mean to be like this, but the hurt that's inside you causes you to lash out at others. And you might think you've got it under control, but if you think you've got it under control and you haven't dealt with it, trust me, at some point, it's going to come out. Usually with an explosion of some sort and a lot of collateral damage. But the Bible says, Psalm 34 verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you are crushed and shattered today, then today's the day to set yourself free. How long have you carried that pain deep inside you? God loves you and God can heal your pain. And today he's willing to do that if you trust him. So don't let bitterness ruin how you see yourself and how you reflect Christ. Hebrews 12 verse 15 says this, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it many become defiled. If you've been hurt and you haven't given it over to God, which involves forgiving people? Ouch, says everybody. Because it's hard, isn't it? Especially if you think you're right. If someone has wronged you, you don't want to forgive them. But unless you forgive them, it's like drinking poison, hoping the other guy dies. I'm just going to drink a bit more of this poison and hope that you die. But you don't die. I die. You are killing yourself if you don't release the bitterness that's in your life. Holding on to hurt and pain shatters the image of God in you and distorts how you see yourself. So today is the day to forgive and to give your hurt to the Lord. Now, let me point out, if you're going to forgive someone who has wronged you in the past, when you forgive someone who's hurt you, it does not legitimize or condone what they did. People think, I don't want to forgive them because they don't deserve it. Well, you don't deserve forgiveness either, but God gave it to you. What happens when you forgive them? You're not legitimizing what they did. You're not saying what you did was okay. What you are doing is you are breaking the hold that they have on you and setting yourself free. That's what forgiveness does. So we need to do that because God wants you to be a true reflection, not a shattered, broken reflection. The fourth thing is a mirror can be distorted by surrounding reflections. The image of a mirror can be affected by external things such as other mirrors, reflections, light, and other images. In the same way, your image of yourself can be affected as well. It can even be destroyed by things around you, especially the opinions of others. There's an old saying that says, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words will hurt you far more than sticks and stones will. And many people have suffered with that. They've had words spoken over them time and time again, and it affects you. It hurts you. It cuts you up. It distorts the image that you are. You can't see a true reflection of yourself or of the Lord because of the words that have been spoken over you. James 3 says this. Listen to this. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Your value, listen to this, your value does not decrease because of someone else's inability to see your worth. What they say about you should not have power. If you've had someone speaking negative words over your life, whether now or sometime in the past, you need to recognize that someone else's opinion is just that. It's an opinion. Opinions are like noses. Everyone has one, and most of them smell. And everybody has an opinion. If you don't believe me, get on Facebook. You have never seen so many opinions on junky stuff out there, and people who would not say something to your face will go on a complete rant on Facebook because they feel there's no repercussions to it. I tell you, people are speaking words over each other all the time, but don't let your image of who you truly are be distorted or sometimes even destroyed by the words of others. Their words only have power if you let them. If you give them permission to affect your life, they have power. But they don't if you don't give them permission. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says this, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." How many of you have experienced that in your life? I have. People have said things about you. It's maybe filtered back, or maybe they've even said them to your face or written them about you, and your spirit is crushed because of what they said. In the Message Bible, that verse says this, "Kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim." And many of us have been wounded and maimed by things that have been spoken over our life. If someone has or is speaking negatives over your life, then today is the day we break those curses and they fall to the ground dead, lifeless, powerless. Some of you here will need prayer to break this power. Sometimes these things are strong, but it can and indeed must be done for you to begin to see the image of yourself correctly. Here's a great verse from Proverbs 26 verse 2. If you've ever had anything spoken over your life negative, if even in jest, listen to this, "Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight." If there's no basis to what they say, you don't have to accept that. The fifth thing that can distort a mirror is is uneven layering. Now, when they put silver nitrate on the back, it has to be even and smooth in order for the mirror to be reflective. If it's not even and smooth, if there's patchy bits in it, then the image that comes back is actually distorted or warped. In fact, I did a bit of research. You know one-way mirrors? How many of you like one-way mirrors? I mean, If you've ever been to Ripley's, believe it or not, anybody been down there on the Gold Coast? They have a, you're walking around this little thing, and on one side it says, only a certain number of people can curl their tongue a certain way. And it shows you what to do, and there's a mirror. See if you're one of the ones who can do it. So you're sitting there going, all right? Then you walk around a corner, and it's a one-way mirror, and you can watch the next guy coming along go, it's brilliant, I love it. But a one-way mirror is only a one-way mirror because it hasn't got as much silver nitrate on it. It's thinner. The thicker they make that stuff, the more reflective it becomes. But if it's not laid evenly, it can cause damage. In the same way, if our relationship with God is patchy, if we only connect with him once a week at church, if we don't spend any time with him in our own personal quiet time, then we have a patchy reflection. It's that we're not evenly layered. There's bits and pieces going everywhere. We will not reflect the Lord the way he wants us to. But James 4 verse 8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, purify your mind, you double-minded. He's saying, listen, if you make an effort to get close to God, he will come close to you. He guarantees that. So why would we hold back? Why not give our all to him? God longs to be close to you. And all it takes is you saying, yes, I want to spend time with you, Lord, every day. And spending time with him every day, reading his word and praying, it causes layer upon layer to be laid on that glass to make the mirror ultimately totally reflective of Jesus. So that's a few of the things that can distort mirrors. My question to you now is, whose image are you going to reflect? You see, the thing is, mirrors do not create images. They reflect images. Okay? You can't, if I want to look like Brad Pitt and I put myself in front of a mirror, Brad Pitt doesn't come back at me. The mirror can't, other than in nursery rhymes and fairy tales, mirror, mirror on the wall, mirrors can't actually create anything. They just reflect whoever's looking in the mirror. There was a great Chinese evangelist called John Sung. Does anybody know him? He's a great evangelist to China. He caused a sensation, and I've always wanted to do this. He would preach a gospel message with a coffin at the front. Can you imagine hearing the message of salvation? He's preaching over a coffin. That's pretty impactive, don't you think? And at the end, he would challenge people to come forward and look inside the coffin. And when they lifted the lid of the coffin, there was a mirror. Ouch. So it can be very impactive. I can tell you, when you look in the mirror, do you see the real you? Do you see the person you are destined to be? Do you see Jesus reflected in your life? Romans 8:29 says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God has a plan for your life, and his plan is that you reflect his son. And as you read his word and you pray and you get to know him and get close to him, as you surrender your life to his will and his care, as you give him your burdens, you will begin to reflect Jesus in that image, not just yourself. And you will move into the destiny he has for you. See, a mirror differs from a pane of glass in that it is painted with several layers, as I said, of silver nitrate. But where does the silver come from? I want to wrap up this message by telling you a little bit about how silver is formed. See, it's dug out of the ground, as you probably, how many of you knew that? Yes, it's dug out of the ground. Good, you're very scientific. Psalm 66 verse 10 says this, for you, O God, have tested us, you have tried us as silver is tried. So let me finish by taking you through the ancient process of refining silver. And it's a great lesson for us all because remember, silver is the reflective bit of a mirror. Silver is what makes a bit of glass into a bit of mirror. As people, we want a great life. Does anybody here want a great life? Yes. We want our lives to be a success. We want to have a great family. We want people who love us. We want health and wealth and wisdom and blessings. Do I hear an amen? Yes, we do. I do as well. That's what we want from God, isn't it? That's what we pray for, we work for, we believe for. But the fact is that along the way, many of us will face trials and hardships. Did you know that? It's not all going to be plain sailing to success. Woo, I'm just going to be super success. There's going to be pain. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be trials along the way. So instead of blaming God as many of us do, we blame God for not giving us what we ordered him to give us and bless us with. Why not step back and see things from his point of view, from his holy perspective? You see, God tests every believer both to reveal the character in his heart and to let him or her lead them into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Here's a fact. We learn more in the valleys than we learn on the mountaintops at times. Is that true? It really is. I enjoy the mountaintops more, but I learn more in the valleys. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says this, "Behold, says the Lord, I have refined you not as silver, I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." So if you face trials or difficulties, if you face affliction of any kind, the Lord is trying you, and it's the whole purpose of this is not to mess up your world or give you a hard time. He wants to make you refined. He wants to make you into something beautiful. He wants to create in you a character that only at times adversity can make happen. So what is the process of refining in biblical times? Well, it starts up with number one is the breaking. The refiner breaks up the natural ore. Now, in biblical times, a refiner began by grabbing some ore. It's hardened rock. It's encased with common materials such as tin, copper, and zinc. But sometimes, somewhere in that rock, there is something valuable like silver or gold. But he has to break the rock to expose the metals to heat. If you try and heat a big chunk of rock like that, you don't get very far. You have to break it into small bits. Jeremiah 23 verse 29 says this, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces?" And sometimes, you know, when we first encounter the Lord, sometimes there's some breaking that goes on in our life. Perhaps you feel broken today. Maybe you've been shattered by a family breakup or a business collapse or something, you know, catastrophic in your life. If you've been broken, great news, you are ready to be refined. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord, that you are going to refine me in my brokenness. The second stage is the crucible. Now, a crucible is a special pot that is able to withstand extreme heat. And the refiner takes the little pieces of ore and puts them in the crucible and subjects it to heat. Ouch! We don't like heat so much. But that's the fiery trials that we face. So Proverbs 17 verse 3 says, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, and the Lord tests the heart." So when your heart is tested, it's like it's in a crucible and the heat is rising and it's getting hot in here. You know? That's the crucible. The third thing is he's going to deal with the dross. Now the dross is the rubbish. As the ore melts in the crucible under the watchful eye of the refiner, a layer of impurities called dross eventually bubbles to the top and forms on the surface. Proverbs 25 verse 4 says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith as material for a vessel." So this stuff here, this crusty looking stuff, is impurity. We don't want that. So he will heat up in the crucible the silver, and the impurities will float to the surface and he will skim them off. So for us individually, dross represents any sin mixed in with our life, any wrong motive, wrong attitude, wrong action, any unforgiveness, unrepentance, or disobedience. It floats to the surface in adversity and the Lord can skim it off. Dross is anything that keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. Now the fourth stage is the heat again. The refiner raises the temperature again and again. So the refiner painstakingly skims off the dross and impurities. Then he doesn't give you a break. He heats it again. You think, well, I've just been through heat. I deserve a break. No, he's going to heat it again till more impurities float up and he skims those off. Then he heats it again. You see, he turns up the heat and he places the crucible back into the furnace, skimming off more and more dross each time. Ancient literature tells us he can do this up to 7 times. He knows that only certain impurities will be released at certain temperatures. And how many of you know you go through something, you think you've sort of cleared it out with the Lord, and suddenly it's a little bit hotter, something else comes along, and you realize there's another part of your life you've got to get right. Is this true? And so you work your way through stages. You don't come to Christ and go, bam, you're pure, straight to heaven for you, buddy, and disappear. It doesn't happen. He leaves us here because he's refining us. And sometimes it takes pain and the heat gets turned up, but we're being refined. He skims that off. Being refined skims that off again and again. The process continues. And each time the silver is more and more refined. In your life, you may find yourself facing trial after trial, pain after pain, and wondering, why is my testing lasting so long? Yet each time, a little more dross, a little more impurity is removed. Multiple trials are necessary to clean out all of the dross. So, when does the refiner know that the silver is actually pure? In ancient times, you know how he knows? He looks in and he sees a clear reflection of himself. Isn't that incredible? The refiner knows the process is complete. So get this, when he looks into the crucible and he sees his own reflection clearly. And that's like God with us. He knows that we are gaining completion when he looks at us and he starts to see his reflection clearer and clearer in our lives. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says this, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I've tried you in the furnace of affliction." When the refiner looks at your life, does he see his own image reflected back? When you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see yourself with your wrinkles and imperfections? Or do you see the master, the refiner himself? Do you see God reflected in your image? Today is the day we start refining your life. You may have been going through this process, this pain, this trial, this difficulty for a while, not knowing what's going on. I'm telling you today, he's refining you. You will be better. You will be more Christ-like the more you go through. And he skims that stuff off the top all the time. Today is the day we clean out those words that were spoken over you in the past, the times when you were told you were useless, that you would amount to nothing. Today's the day we begin to break that power. We forget the things of the past and we press on towards the future that God has for you. If you've had something in your past that you're ashamed of, or if you've had negative words or hurtful words spoken over in your life, even if it was said in jest, and we're Australians, we say stuff in jest when there's a little barb in the bottom. Have you felt that sometimes? Yeah, we're good at that. That's our culture. But even if it's said in jest, I believe that now's the time we need to start freeing ourselves from that stuff, to stop this distorting of the image and to start to truly reflect Christ in our life. You know, some years ago, I was told by another pastor who's still here on the coast that I would never be a leader, I would never be a pastor and never have an impact for God. I knew immediately when he said that, I felt it was wrong. Fiona felt it was wrong. We prayed into that, and just like that verse, you know, it fluttered around, but it never settled because we didn't give it a chance to settle. And we prayed it through and we committed ourselves to following the Lord into our destiny, whatever it was. The funny thing is I still meet this guy at pastor's meetings. He doesn't talk to me and I don't care because I don't have anything to prove. God's done it. I don't have to fight. God did it. I just have to reflect him. And the words that were spoken over me years ago have no power. Words only have power if you let them. But many of us have let them. It's time to change that. Would you bow your heads? Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. I want you to look deep into your heart. Just have your head bowed, your eyes closed. Look deep into your heart. And I'm going to ask you what words were spoken over you years ago, maybe weeks ago, I don't know. What words have been spoken into your life that you need to say enough today to stop them having power over you? Many words have been spoken. Many words have been spoken in and over our lives. But today is the day we break that curse. They might have said you were no good. They might have said you were hopeless. You'll never amount to anything. Today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break that. I break that curse. They might have said you'll never be anybody powerful. Today, in Jesus' name, I break that curse. They might have said You're a loser. You're a joke. You're an embarrassment. Whatever those words were, today is the day we break those off our life. So just as you examine your heart, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. If there are thoughts inside you, if there are words that have been spoken over you in the past that you believe still have power in your life, I'm going to ask you to stand up where you are. Examine your heart. If there are words that have been spoken over you, just stand up where you are. Because today is the day we break those things off our life. There's not going to be one or two, there's going to be many. If God has lays it on your heart, just look back at the things that have been said, the things that have been spoken over your life. I believe God wants you to live life and life to the full. I believe that God wants you to reflect His Son. So I'm going to ask you, just search your heart. If the words have been spoken over your life, curses, put downs, even in jest, maybe from friends, maybe from parents, maybe from husbands and wives. Sometimes we can say caustic things, even to people we love. If those words have been spoken over your life, I want you to stand up where you are right now. I'll just give you a few seconds to think about it. Lord, we pray that as you search our hearts and our minds, Lord, many of us hold on to these things. But Father, I pray that you will just destroy the power of these things in our lives. Lord, we just pray against those curses and those words that have been said. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we break that stuff right now. We curse those curses right to their roots, that they might shrivel and die and those words will never come to effect. Lord, we ask you for life instead of death, blessings instead of cursings, that we might reflect you instead of reflect the wayward words and somebody else's opinion of ourselves. Lord, we just commit our lives to you. Those of you standing, come to the front. We need to pray this through. Come to the front. Come on, don't be afraid. This is important. It's really important we clear this stuff out. We're going to pray this stuff through. This stuff is not going to keep hold of us forevermore. This is it. Today it goes. We have prayer team forward, please, to start praying with these guys. Just come right to the front, guys, right to the front. These words stop here. This is it.